Dear friends in Christ, God's grace, mercy, and peace once again have been yours this week, and you can look forward to it in the coming week as well, given to you by our Lord through His Holy Spirit. The text for this morning is a continuation of the gospel lesson from which we preached last week. Supply line problems and supply line stories. Probably all have one or two. We ordered furniture a year ago, April. Finally got here in January, this January. The district has ordered new furniture for their new office, and they were told, yeah, it'll be here in June. They're still waiting for it. It's supposed to come in August. A nasty squirrel chewed through one of the harnesses on my car. The lights were reading all kinds of crazy things. I took it to the dealer, and the service manager came out after an hour and said, well, Mr. Kripe, I've got some good news for you. I kind of doubted that. He only chewed through the small harness, not the big one. The big harness would have cost you a couple thousand dollars. This little one's only going to cost you $67 and four times that much in labor. But you're in good fortune because there's one of these available in the United States. One. And we just ordered it for you. 2 weeks later, it arrived. Last week, my daughter told me that some electronic goods she ordered for the company for which she works as a buyer is going to be in their hands 6 years from now. How in the world will that happen? I don't know. But in the face of all of this, we hear Jesus say, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear, because life is more than food and the body more than clothes. Well, Jesus, that may have been true in your time where people worried about food and clothing, and to some extent people still worry about things like baby food formula. But boy, don't we have problems that surmount those. If we don't solve these, we won't even get to the food and drink and clothing area. How many companies begin each day wondering how many workers are going to show up? My other daughter's a manager at Bob Evans in Defiance. She never knows who's going to show up, how many cooks she's going to have. And so sometimes she has to work as the cook 16 hours. So it's not unusual for her to put an 80-hour week in because, oh, I just didn't feel like coming in today. Well, how many small businesses can stand that kind of an operation and make money hoping to survive? And then there are the worries we have about our kids and grandkids. Are they going to be able to pay off that mountain of college debt? Will they be able to move out of our basements and buy a home of their own? Do they still have their Christian faith after leaving college, or are they one of the zealous woke crowd? Believe me, Jesus, worry about clothing and clothes are kind of at the bottom of the list these days. Almost. Almost. During college, a friend of mine made an observation about the way I ate in the cafeteria. He said, you know, some people live to eat. They savor every mouthful. They recognize the seasonings. They enjoy the interplay of textures. And they love the way food is presented in a very attractive manner. As I can tell you, those people do not often go to the drive-thrus at McDonald's or anywhere else. And if they drink wine, it doesn't come from one of those screw-top bottles. They love to eat, and they eat to live. Live to eat, rather. The other people do just the opposite. They eat to live. Often they gulp their foods as though they're in a race or they're afraid somebody's going to steal the rest of it off their plate before they finish. If you ask them what they had to eat yesterday, they couldn't tell you because they barely tasted it when it went down. They're like the ovens. They're like the furnaces that burn corn cobs. They'll burn propane. They'll burn heating oil. Doesn't matter. You throw it in, they'll eat it. They'll burn it. You, he said, are one of those. And he was mostly right. Same might be said for clothing. For some, clothing's just something you put on so you're not run around without anything on. You put on the least you can get away with in the summertime. In the winter, you put on as most as you can and still be able to move. You wear clothing that is comfortable, flexible, and will allow you to do your work safely without hindrance. But for others, clothing is a lot more than just that. The labels on the clothing tell the world something about themselves. Their clothing tells the world that they are either powerful people or they're very virtuous people because they support a certain political cause or a social group. They tell the world that those who wear them live a certain lifestyle. Their worry is not that they don't have something to wear, but they worry that what they wear isn't communicating enough the virtue that they believe they have about themselves. So why does Jesus tell us not to worry about these things, either by quality or by quantity? Because life is more than these things. Because our worth doesn't come from them. Those who believe their value is connected to the content of their refrigerator or whatever's hanging in their closet, Jesus says, you're living like pagans. That they are zealous vegans. That their clothes are not assembled by some sweatshop underpaid worker in Cambodia, that they only invest in green corporations and they let you know that about them. That's just a modern variation on the problem Jesus is addressing. Namely, if you think your life depends on these things, well, you are in for a huge disappointment. But here's some good news for you. Your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Parents often look with anticipation to the faces of their kids as they're going to open that special birthday or Christmas present because they can't wait to see the expression of joy or disbelief or whatever on their faces as they open the papers and see what's inside. From the time I was born, at least, until 5 or 6 years before her death, my mom was a church organist. When we lived in Indiana, I remember every Saturday she'd get in the car, drive to the church to practice for an hour or so. In the summertime, that meant practicing in the heat because the church didn't have any air conditioning. In the wintertime, nobody was going to turn that boiler on for somebody's hour practice in the church. So she made sure she bundled up and sometimes even wore gloves to practice the organ. Well, one Christmas, I was handing out the gifts, and one of them I gave to Mom was from her mom and dad, and it was a very light box, very light. And I thought, what could this be? So I watched. She opened it up, and there inside were two pieces of paper. The first said, go buy yourself an organ. And the second piece was a blank check with which she could do that very thing. The look on her face did not disappoint her parents, I'll tell you that. It confirmed to them that the expense they were going to go through would be worth every single penny of it. God was pleased to give you and me the very best gift imaginable, the kingdom. Even though what that cost God to give us that gift was extreme. His Son had to take on our flesh and blood and be limited by the very things we live with every day, limited by our flesh and blood. Cold, heat, hunger, tiredness, the whole range of things. And then you add on top of that the rejections, the mockings, the beatings, the betrayals, the whippings, and then finally his painful death on the cross. And yet he is pleased because he knows once you know you've got the kingdom, all this stuff changes. Your attitude toward the food you eat, your attitude toward the clothes you wear, it all changes because you recognize these things are temporary. They're not eternal. You understand your goods, all of it contributes absolutely nothing to your status before God. By giving you the kingdom, God anticipates and looks for joy for the expression on your face. Wow, I get it. My life's worth is not tied to the things that are here today and the things that are gone tomorrow. Next time you go to a garage sale, and this weekend, if you wanted to, you'd have plenty of garage sales to go to on Route 127. But next time you go, consider that you are taking a stroll down memory lane. Notice how many fads are present in the clothes and the shoes that are for sale. Take a look at what's laid out on the merchandise tables, and you'll see all the crazes that hit our country in years past. The chia rock, the chia pets, the pet rocks, the salad shooters, the 8-track cassettes, the Walkman, the lava lamps, the VHS tapes. The list is endless. But notice this. The sellers of those things believe that their status, their value, their worth no longer is tied to owning those things. Otherwise, they wouldn't be for sale. They'd still be keeping them, still hanging on to them. No, they've moved on to new fads, to new crazes, and you can bet within 3 or 4 years, hell of a garage sale, all that stuff is going to be out there for sale. It's just exactly what the Old Testament lesson told us last week. Vanity, vanity, it's all chasing after the wind. By contrast, God's kingdom is eternal. Because our God does not change, the kingdom doesn't change. What he offered our ancestors in baptism is what he offers anybody and everybody who is baptized today, namely the forgiveness of their sins and adoption into their family so that they are heirs of God, co-heirs with Christ. Heirs of what? A treasure in heaven that will not be exhausted, where no thief can rob, where no moth can destroy, where no social media influencer can change its value, and where there are absolutely no supply line problems. The treasure we await is none other than God himself. As the last stanza of one of our hymns puts it, thine the glory in the night, no more dine, only light. Thine the river, thine the tree, then the Lamb eternally. Then the holy, holy, holy celebration, jubilee, thine the splendor, thine the brightness, only thee, only thee. Or as St. Augustine observed centuries ago, our souls are restless until they rest in you. Our souls are always looking for something to validate us, something to tell us we're worth something. And when one fails, we buy another one. And when that fails, we buy another. And when we try that, you see how it goes. Our souls are restless until they rest in thee, the giver of the kingdom and all good things. Amen. Peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.